Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show about local art, with your hosts David Von Strawn and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's David and Leslie.
Hello, Charlottesville.
Wake up, Charlottesville.
Wow. Good morning.
All right.
It's just one of those days. This is Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the Devious One, and with me, as always, the lovely, the loquacious, the lascivious, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
What's up?
Hey. What? Okay. All right.
Well,
that's cool.
Well, I have to go. You're using that one. I have to go over here.
No, you should have it over here.
We're preparing.
Oh, that's what we're doing? It's not portable. You can't slide that bad boy over when you need to.
We got her covered.
You know what?
Just saying.
Early Sunday morning, you gonna do that?
I always do that.
Early Sunday morning, you gonna go at me?
Mm-hmm.
You gonna go at me?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. All right.
Early like Sunday morning.
You know it's coming back, right? You know it's coming back at you. I'm just saying, be prepared. That's all I'm saying.
Set up his
at home. Oh, Lord. Turn his mic off, please. Lord.
Look, nevertheless... Uh-huh. He persisted. Mm-hmm. You can't turn off.
I'm so sorry for all of your ears bleeding right now. We will, you know, try and
you
stop
know
David
my,
from
my
singing.
Voice is honey soaked and butamous.
I'm
for
sorry.
All of Charlottesville.
I'm sorry.
Here.
Honey soaked.
Honey soaked.
Honey
dipped.
I mean,
just
I
dipped
think you,
in a light manuka
that heals
the soul.
I think you meant beer soaked. I think that's what you.
That's accurate.
Meant.
That's
yeah.
accurate.
I know because I know you.
But you put a little honey in the beer and it clears your throat.
No,
you don't do that.
No,
you don't do
no.
that.
No,
you don't do that.
No,
maybe a little spoonful on the
no.
side.
No, I don't. Normally I.
I'm
do
loving
whiskey.
The commentary from the background. We've never had that before. We've never had a live studio audience. At Homegrown.
And such a lovely studio audience it
Children
is.
Children play nice.
No. David and I never play nice.
No, we don't want to police people. We want to encourage laughter.
That's right.
And joy and mirth.
That's right.
And craziness.
Say whatever you want.
Because it's about time the progressive voice got a little crazy.
How about
Am I
that?
Right?
Right.
All right. Thank you, studio audience.
we've got such a packed show today.
Packed. Jam-packed.
Oh, my God.
Which is great, because I have nothing
and
to say.
And we've got a little bit of everything. Like,
yep.
We got a little bit of music.
Little bit
we got
music,
a little bit of art.
Little bit
we got
artistry.
A little bit of theater.
Well, sprinkle
like,
some theater on there.
Oh, my God. Mm. Like, the art fairies, like, came to get us today.
It is a smorgasbord of local art. Filling the soul.
So I guess we should get to it.
Yeah, let's
yeah,
do it.
We should get you introduce yeah. our first guest.
Yes,
David.
Yes. This is Susan Munson and Deborah Guy. They are part of the Six Pack Songwriter Showcase and the benefit for Pacham. Peoples and Congregations Engaged in Ministry concert will be going down September 10th at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. Right?
It's true.
Yes.
That's all true.
It's not on here. I remembered that.
Accurate information.
Because I remember
Way
things
go.
Sometimes.
I love it.
How y'all doing?
We're good.
We're all right.
All right.
We're
you,
awesome.
You're going to start
Sunday
us.
Morning. Let's do it.
I was going to say, you're just going to start us off with a jam, and then we'll just go into some talkity
music.
Talk?
Yeah.
Music!
Music!
Footprints in the sand. You knew the Irish blessing like the back of your hand. I remember that old tempo you used to drive. Way back when you kept us closed down alive. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. So you could talk to the dogs.
Groovy. That song called Irish Blessing was inspired by my parents, one of whom was named Clinton.
Whoa!
Dad was a Clinton. Mm-hmm. My mom was a Helen. I know. Clinton and Helen. Clinton and Helen. It's very southern, isn't it? Clinton and Helen.
That's where Help Me Helen came from.
That's true. So, yeah, I have sort of a band. We go back and forth between being Deborah Guy with everybody and then Help Me Helen, which is all of us, and then Deborah Guy and Help Me Helen. We're like a combo of things. But yeah, so we started off being Help Me Helen, and now we sort of just morphed along to being either, both, all.
Yeah.
How about that?
You know, before there was Beyonce, there was Destiny's Child, so you know.
That's exactly.
Sometimes you got to break off and do your own thing.
We're exactly like that.
You know?
That.
Yeah.
It's really
exactly.
Stunningly.
I see the resemblance.
Yeah, yes. Seriously.
You know?
Very, very mm-hmm. parallels. Parallels.
Yes. I think you're opening for Beyonce.
I am. Yeah, very soon.
Because it was always
so
Beyonce's
stoked.
Destiny to be childish.
You are really gunning to like lose our entire female audience listening.
He's getting a call from like Bay's lawyers. That's what he's going to
do. You know the power of the beehive? They will come down.
They will come for
and
you, man.
Rain.
Oh my gosh!
Yes. Vengeance and thunder.
Thunder.
On everybody in this room.
Susan! Well, you're up, Susan.
Uh-oh.
Here you are. Come on over.
Mine isn't that all peppy.
Beat that!
That's okay.
I'm really happy. It's Sunday morning.
I know. You did awesome.
Wake up.
And this is like Star Search. We're going to vote everybody on stars at the end.
All right.
And whoever wins gets to advance
no
to next
pressure.
Week.
No
don't scream. Don't shout. It's what life's all about, love and family. It's all you really need. Well, I know it's true. I had it all once too, and it slowly drifted away. Worrying about another day. Today's a day.
Seville talent. My God. It is busting at the seams.
Thank you. And there's four more of us for the six-pack on Sunday. What is it? The 10th. Sunday the 10th at the Southern. Four more of just this.
Right on.
Awesomeness.
Thank you.
So why don't somebody say a little bit about the Six Pack Songwriter Showcase? How you guys got involved? Who's in it? What's going down? Talk about it.
Well, see, it was Jason Burke's whole big idea. We all met at the local. That's where I met Deborah. Well, I met Deborah at the local on Monday nights. There's a songwriters thing, and that Michael Clem runs. And there he is on the wall.
Yeah. Yes.
And so Jason had this idea that he wanted to showcase some people instead of us just playing at on the local on Monday night. So he organized a six-pack, and he picked six of songwriters, and we all have like 20 minutes to play some of our songs, the original songs, so that an audience can hear a little bit more, and we would have just that little setting. So he's done, this is the third year, maybe the fourth year.
Yeah.
He was doing it down at Rapunzel's in Lovingston, and now it's at the Southern.
Ooh, Rapunzel's.
Rapunzel's, that's right. And so this he's done it a couple times, and this time he decided to do it as a benefit, which is why he's doing it for Packham. So it's me and Deborah, Mark Roebuck, Will Overman,
Peyton
Tochterman, and John Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really good lineup.
Awesome. Do we still have any more of the CDs to give out?
We do have a couple more of the CDs.
We got a couple more. We only got a couple left because we've just been giving them out so much in the past week or so. But if you post on Homegrown, hey, you get a free CD. If you're the first two to do it, you get these two CDs. So, hey, post on Homegrown, get yourself some free CDs by, like, every amazing local artist in the Charlottesville area, including Susan Munson and Deborah Guy. So,
Thank you. That's
it.
Thank you so much.
That's it.
You guys too.
I want more. And you have to come back every week now and be our live studio audience.
All right. Sunday morning.
You're on.
I expect nothing less.
Every Sunday morning.
So much.
Well, thank you.
That was great. We're going to do a drop. We're going to do a drop?
Maybe.
I guess we're not going to do a drop since you're walking away and you're the person that kind of does all the drops. We just kind of fly by the seat of our pants here at Homegrown. We're a very professional, put together group of people.
It's Sunday morning.
I'm losing my mind. Let's do a drop. Let's pay some bills, and we'll come back with Katie Reed showing off her lovely artwork. This is Homegrown. Drop. 16 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC. The Progressive Voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Leslie. Clinton's over here rocking the boards. And we have with us...
Oh, my God.
Katie Reed. She is an artist. She does lovely
She's
work.
She's an amazing artist.
Doing Dreamscape. And the next showing of hers will be at Maya Restaurant. I believe it's still up right now.
Yes, I already had the initial showing, but the art is still up at the restaurant.
It's still up. You can catch it while you grab a drink. Is Peter Richardson still playing acoustic guitar?
No, he's not.
Well, he lost out. He missed out.
he really did.
But yeah, if you want to catch like a little bit of Katie Reed's website, we're looking at it right now. We're looking at her website right now, and I'm guessing your inspiration basically comes from if the game designer from Limbo and Maurice Sendak had a love child took an art class, that's what it would be.
Wow.
But no, I mean,
Have you ever heard your art described in that way?
Not quite that way, no.
It's a compliment.
But
it's
no,
a compliment.
I like it.
In my world. It's really gothic. It's really, it's dark.
Wait a minute, was that Frodo?
Yes.
Yes.
Frodo!
Yeah.
Oh yeah. My God!
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so are all of these, because some of them look like they're ink, some of them look like they're pencil, what...
Yeah, I work in a variety of medium. Mostly pen and ink is my favorite, and I have some Photoshop stuff up there, like the Frodo illustration is Photoshop, but my biggest forte is definitely pen.
Wow. Okay, go back up, David.
Going up.
I love that one. Back right. Come on, a little bit. Right there. That woman in red is amazing.
Thank you.
Are those wings?
Yes, yes. She's the queen of, like, dark fairies or something.
Yes! That's what's up.
Oh, my God. I love it.
So we see Lord of the Rings. We see a lot of fairies. We see a lot of monsters. Where do you draw? I see a lot of inspiration that comes from books and publications that have very vivid imagery. Would you say that's like basically the, you know, primary point of your inspiration?
It's definitely a large one. I'd say my primary point of inspiration is music, actually.
Okay.
And a lot of it just comes out of my twisted head. But books and movies are definitely...
Primarily, what artist in music would you say? What do you listen to when you're drawing?
It's probably easier for me to give genres as opposed to particular artists.
Yeah.
So, classical music, metal, rock, and even Celtic music are the big ones.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I can
see
that. I'm
noticing that with the swirls. And
I can definitely see that.
And the motion in the painting and all that.
So I'm really interested in that. Could you talk more about that? I mean, how does the music that you're listening to get transformed into something that goes on the page, right? Because you would think, or at least I would think, that those would be really separate forms. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. I the best way I can describe it is it's like an energy that I just kind of feel out with the music. Sometimes lyrics are an inspiration, and then, you know, oftentimes there are no lyrics, so it's just this vibe I get. It's really abstracted, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to put it into words, but I just, sometimes I'm listening, and an image forms in my head, and then I just go with it, and then new images keep forming, and it just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling.
Yeah.
And would you say that's, like, the basic process in how you work, or does it work the opposite way? Do you, like, have an image, and it's like, I really want to do that, and then maybe put on something to, like, kind of help you through that process? Does it work backwards as well?
It does, yes. It does both ways. It's because sometimes it's hard to just, if I don't have an idea, to just sit there and listen to music and be like, okay, come up with an idea. It, mm-hmm. it doesn't always work that way. It's kind of hard. So it'll just kind of surprise me. It'll just come up on me, and I'll be like, oh, I have to do that. And mm-hmm. then I'll sit down, listen to music, and more of the image will formulate as I go.
Interesting.
So what I'm struck by is that every single one of these seems to tell some sort of story.
Yes.
Like, I'm guessing that's death.
Yes.
With giving the little girl a flower. Like, mm-hmm. that is such a powerful image, and telling a story about death that I guess most of us don't normally
equate.
Yeah, death mm-hmm. as compassionate, death as friendly.
Yes, exactly. I have portrayed death a number of times in my images, and yes, I do. I love to go for narratives in my work, whether it's someone else's or my own. And the way I visualize death is, yes, the stereotypical view, but I wouldn't say I've ever portrayed him as being evil so much as this entity that is doing his job.
Yeah.
And he can be compassionate, and he can be a little bit cruel, but he is what
he is. So can everybody.
Exactly. He is what he is.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the primary point of art, is to, like, kind of twist the general idea and to give people another outlook on what this could be.
Mm-hmm.
So I really value that. When did you start, like, you know, especially, like, putting these into, like, portrait form? I know, like, you know, when we're in kids and when we're in high school, you know, we always, like, doodle in the back of our notebooks mm-hmm. and stuff. I always did that. But, like, when did you start saying, okay, let me put this into portrait form. Let me see if I can get this up on, you know, on... Go ahead, Glenn.
Can I just say, I didn't do that because even my doodles sucked.
But they're important to you, Clinton. And that's what's important. What art is to us. But when were you just like, okay, I'm gonna start making these into, like, something, rather than something for myself, something for other people to view, and something for other people to take in?
Interesting question. Well, first of all, I will say that I have been drawing since before I can even remember.
Nice.
But when I wanted to make it for other people, I don't know. I do that, but I still draw for me largely. But I guess through college is when I learned to appreciate how to draw to cater to other people as well as myself.
Right on.
So that's the best answer I can give on that, because I'm not sure. So it's an interesting question. I've never been asked that before.
Interesting. It's 10:24. Go ahead.
So is this your first, like, show that you've done in Charlottesville, or have there been other shows, and are there other shows coming?
this has been my first show. I don't have another one lined up right now, but I would love to have one sometime soon. It was a blast. I loved it. It was a little horrifying, but really great.
Yeah. So for your first show, how did you decide what to put up and what to leave out?
And even more to that, who approached you at Maya? Was like, yo, let me do this. Or did you come to Maya? It's like, I have these things. You should put them up. How did that work out? How'd you get into Maya?
Okay. Well, I will admit my uncle is a bartender there. Okay. And so he obviously knows the events coordinator there, and he talked with him for me, and my mom also was a huge part of this. Mm-hmm. And they were all like, yes, let's do this. And they came to me and told me, I was like, wait, what? it was through people I knew.
Yeah.
It was really cool. You had another part to the question. What was
Leslie had another part to the question.
How did you decide what went
right
to the show and what got left out?
Right. I had some that were already in mind because I had done them recently, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I could see this going up. And I actually just sat down with my mom and just went through and was like, okay, what do you think needs to go up? And then I actually had two portfolios of stuff that I just kind of sat on a table for people to peruse through, and some price stickers on it, and they were all under $100, just old stuff I did that I didn't want to hang up.
Yeah.
So basically I just put up the ones that I felt most proud of.
Yeah. That's very cool. Very cool. And, you know, that's so often what happens with artists. It's not what you know, but who you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It really is. It's mm-hmm. it's always who has taken an interest in what you do, mm-hmm. and how much they're willing to go to bat for you.
Mm-hmm. Now, I really like this reggae one, too. But I noticed that you also did a movie poster for a workmate or somebody that you were collaborating with. Is that something that you would like to do more, like kind of artwork for like theater productions and things of that nature?
I would certainly be interested in it. That's not what I'm thinking for as far as a career goes.
Right.
But I did those in a class. It was a poster designing class.
Okay.
But I did enjoy it. I did enjoy it.
So can you talk about your relationship to color? Because Some of your pieces have, I wouldn't say saturated colors, but some of your pieces have some bold color choices, the stuff that's Photoshop. But I think a lot of your pieces, the colors are muted. Some of them mm-hmm. you do even in black and white. Do you have any thoughts or preferences in that area?
Yes, absolutely. I do prefer to work in black and white, but occasionally my favorite thing to do is just to add a splash of color, usually a singular color, to draw the eye where I would like it to be drawn. Hmm. Usually that would be black, white, and then red. That's what I prefer to do.
It looks like a lot of the anime and the manga inspired stuff is in very bold, very bright colors, mm-hmm. with exception to the Dark Fairy, which is awesome. But a lot of stuff that looks like it... It comes from, you know, Japanese animation, looks very much more colored and brighter, for lack of better words, than the rest of that. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, so those were mostly done, maybe all, in Photoshop. And with Photoshop, it's a lot more fun to work with color for me for some reason than, you know, with my hands. But I guess with anime, it's just which I loved when I was a kid, so it just mm-hmm. kind of stuck with me a little bit. But it's just easier because it's already there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but with my pen illustrations,
yeah,
just black and white speaks to me in a different way.
Yeah, like this one is more like Princess Mononoke, and this one is more like, you know, Ghost in the Shell or something like that. Do you have any favorite manga that you go towards if you're looking for inspiration or something like that, or just remembrance?
Yeah, I grew up with Miyazaki.
Okay.
Certainly. Love his stuff even now. And Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood is definitely still one of my favorites. Just finished watching that with my brother.
Have you caught Attack on Titan?
Not much, actually.
Oh,
I know. Yeah, I need to try that again. I saw like the first two episodes or something like that.
It's nuts.
Yeah, no.
It's so good.
I need to try again. Yeah.
Right. I was out of the anime game and then I started watching Attack on Titan. And I was like, this is amazing. So what's next? What do you plan on? How long is this going to be up in Maya? And you said you wanted to be in the exhibit sometime soon. What do you plan on doing after Maya?
During
and after.
Right. So for Maya, we're actually taking down some stuff today. The stuff that I sold.
No! Okay, just the stuff you sold.
Yeah. So that I can scan it and give people their original works, because we told them after a week we'd be taking those down. Mm-hmm. And then we asked if we'd be able to keep the rest of the stuff up for a few more days. I'm not sure how much longer, but mm-hmm. hopefully a few more days, maybe a week. I don't know.
So get over there. Get over there, people.
and pay this person because, yeah. and see, with art, you can get paid.
Yes.
It is a lucrative form of livelihood.
Yes.
Despite what all of your parents say. So
no, I'm glad to hear that like your mom and your uncle like really supported you and made this happen, because so many of us as artists, our families just don't get it.
Right.
And
exactly.
don't push for us.
And if my parents saw this, they'd be like, well, I'm gonna let you see a therapist on Thursday. Maybe you can talk through some of the stuff. But they wouldn't be as supportive about it. They would just like be questioning it. But they were more adamant about your work being shown than you were actually.
Yes. my mom, my dad, my brother, and of course my uncle were all, my whole family. I mean, art runs in the family.
Nice.
So it's kind of hard to run away from it.
Yeah, that's so good. They understand the importance of it.
Right. We all have to support each other. It goes way back.
That's awesome. That's lovely to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm very fortunate. I got to go to school for it. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that all right? We're wrapping it up. You going to be back, Haley?
Back
here.
Here?
Yes.
Yeah, come back the next time.
Yeah.
Next time you have a show, you want to show some new stuff off, please come back.
Yes,
we will plug the poop out of it, and we will make sure that all of these portraits will leave the shelf. So just drawing a piece about that. Plugging the poop out of it by Haley Reed.
Just for you.
Inspiration.
Oh, my God. Don't let David give you any inspiration, please.
I'm going to send you some Trivium, and then you can like rock to that.
Absolutely.
Oh,
Kaylee Reed, ladies and gentlemen, doing excellent work. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So we go into options. We go into artistic events.
Yeah.
And, all right.
Let's
just do that, shall we? Here are some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running now through August 30th is auditions for Romeo and Juliet at Piedmont Virginia Community College. Also now through November 26th, the American Shakespeare Center summer fall season featuring Much Ado About Nothing, Leslie Bloss, Henry VI, Part 3, and Shakespeare by Shakespeare, and the modern musical Peter and the Starcatcher, all at the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton. Also, Last Chance, The Mysteries That Remain. Thank God, I don't have to say this name anymore. The first museum survey of the work of acclaimed Australian Indigenous artist Nick Nemerari Jabaljari. I'm going to miss you so much, Nick. Amarari.
Oh my God.
At the Kluge-Roo Aboriginal Arts Collection. Also, Last Chance, auditions for A Christmas Story, the musical, by appointment only. Oh, if you fancy, at Four County Players. So, I guess if you didn't get the appointment, then you missed your last chance.
I guess so. Whoops.
All right. The 28th through January 16th, Kluge-Roo Aboriginal Arts Collection presents an off-site exhibition, Defending the Ocean. Is it off-site in Australia? I don't know. 21 works by contemporary Indigenous art. Yes, yeah, seriously.
That's a long freaking flight to make
It's a really good show.
Okay, all right.
We're 21 works by contemporary Indigenous artists celebrating the central importance of the ocean to human life at the Charles L. Brown Science and Engineering Center in UVA's Clark Hall. August 29th, Charlottesville Writer House Masterclass Series with Jane Friedman this week, Content Strategy and Content Marketing at Indoor Biotechnologies. August 31st, the Jefferson Madison Regional Libraries Central Film Series presents the documentary. I really need to read this stuff through. before I get in here. Jesus
Clinton
Christ.
Clinton is banging
the
his
parking
head
lot movie.
On the board right
I love
now.
The parking lot movie. It was on Netflix. It was dope. About the corner lot, the corner parking lot, which I always park at when I go eat lunch with my mama at the central branch of the JMRL. See, I should have just said JMRL because everybody knows what that means.
Oh my God.
September 9th and 10th, August auditions for Sweet Charity. See, I have August in my mind all the time. It will say burned in my mind for the rest of my life. September 9th and September 10th, auditions for Sweet Charity. Live Arts, directed by Marisha, right? Maria? Oh, she's just special, so that's what, yeah. Maria Reif. Music direction by Kristen Baltes? And, choreography by Heather Powell. Oh, I know that one. And for your music options this week.
Yes, music options. Noon today, Zuzu's Hot Five returns to Fellini's to play Cajun Jazz to Fellini's Cajun Brunch. The Cool Blue Quintet plays the Batesville Market at 1 p.m. Shannon Branch plays traditional country at Wild Wolf Brewing Company at 2 p.m. Catch original blues inspired by Mountain Americana by Tara Mills and Jimmy Stelling at Albemarle Ciderworks, 2:30. Midlife Crisis gives you classic rock, disco, and current covers. I'm sorry, classic rock, disco, and current
covers. It ain't
covers.
As easy as it looks now.
No, that's not easy at all. At James River Brewing Company at 3:30. Tonight, King Golden Banshee at Tin Whistle Irish Pub. August 28th, ATM unit featuring Jonah K. West at Rapture. The 29th, Bob Huntington and Travis Elliott at Fellini's. The 30th, Uncle Billy on the Patio at Three Notched Brewing Company. Tequila Mockingbird at Rapture. August 31st, Brandon Walsh and Greg Weaver lead the Seaville Jazz Congregation playing jazz, funk, fusion, and Latin music at Stinson Vineyards. See, I want to go to that. Jazz, funk, fusion, and Latin. That sounds awesome. Plus, it's wine? Oh, my God. Okay. August 31st, the Weed Eaters at the Whiskey Jar, the Michael Ellswick Gathering, and Nick and Stephen Pollock at Fellini's. The Beatty Shagwolf, Equally Opposite, and DJW perform at Mello Miguelo's Unity Festival at the Anteroom. I know. Oh, I'm so going to that. Oh, my God. DJW and Shagwolf? Oh, my God. September 1, Crozet Acoustic Trio Delta Junction plays Delta Blues style blues at Proway Not a Farm Brewery. Bobby McKnight Band at Glasshouse Winery. Kendall Street Company plays an album release show for their first full length album, Earth Turns, at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. Jimmy Buffett Tribute Band Full Moon Saloon at Blue Mountain Brewery. Renee Ruth Duo at Wild Wolf Brewing Company. Bob Bonetta and the Chickenhead Blues Band at Fellini's. September 2nd, Sue Harlow at Knight's Gambit Vineyard. It's Saturday music at the Batesville Market with Keith Morris and the Crooked Numbers. Hey, Keith, what's up, babe? Eli Cook at Southern Cafe Music Hall. Love you, Eli. Hey, honey. Rattlebag at Wildwood Brewing Company, the George Taylor Group at the Whiskey Jar, and John Durth at Fellini's. Oh, my God. Every Friday Everywhere. Morning. West African Drum Circle at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Every Monday, Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Every Monday, Seafoot Weekly Open Jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Every Tuesday, the traditional session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, Open Mic Night at Prairie Not a Farm Brewery. Open Mic Night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo. Jazz Collective Number 9 at Fellini Number 9. Bachata Fusion at the Anteroom, presented by the Charlottesville Salsa Club. Ooh, let's go dance. And the Mike Brzezinski and Jeff Duggar Quartet at Miller's. And every Thursday, John Durth at Miller's. And those are your music options for this week.
That's right. And we're going to pay some bills. We're going to come right back. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Hello, this is local artist and expressionist painter Adam Disbro. You are listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
It is 37 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC.
The progressive voice of Charlottesville.
The progressive voice of Charlottesville.
I was
getting to that.
Wow.
Stay tuned. I think I've been doing this for a little bit. I don't know. After the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore, his guests is Adeola Ogunkiede and Kim Rola from the Legal Aid Justice Center. Adeola is my
woman. She is awesome. Talking about the events of August 12th, the police reaction, and different communities' perceptions on Charlottesville. That is a must listen to show.
Oh, yeah.
Fix it. Just if you listen, just keep on listening.
He's saying, stay tuned, is what he's saying.
Stay tuned.
David's having trouble talking today.
I said stay tuned already. I'm trying to come up with synonyms.
Oh.
God.
Don't do that on the fly.
This is what I deal with.
Don't do that on the fly. You need to write them down ahead of time or something. I'm just saying, you know.
With me, as always, is Leslie.
I told you I'd get you back for your comment earlier.
No, really, you're always with me. Like, all the time now.
David, that sounds like you're unhappy about that.
I didn't say I was unhappy about it. I was just making an observation.
Because, you know, you say that in the affirmative, yet your tone makes me believe otherwise. I'm just saying.
With us in the studio. All right. Sean Richards and Kara McLean Burke. They are with the Performers Exchange Project. They have collaborated to do the work, The Convolution of Pip and Twig. It's featuring now at the Live Arts Theater, running from the 1st through the 23rd. How's it going, y'all?
We are in tech week right now.
Come closer. We want to hear you.
Get a little closer.
We are in the Gibson Theater.
Okay.
We are working
the big house.
We were in the Founders in the past, and the play was a lot smaller. But we're expanding it a bit.
And then y'all killed it, and then you went to Live Arts, and he was like, "You need to put us in the big house."
Because
this ain't gonna work.
Sure, it was available. It was more available.
But we've
in the middle of tech right now, doing a lot of work getting it ready. We open on Friday, and this new version is we went back in the rehearsal room and redesigned it from the past iteration.
Okay.
So it has more of a set that is a built thing that we're working with.
Go ahead.
So for our listeners who don't know,
like me,
this is the third iteration or fourth iteration of this show, because you created it, you did it in Charlottesville, then you took it to Fringe, and it changed, I'm sure, before Fringe and after in Edinburgh, and you mounted it again when you came back from Edinburgh, and now
this is
the mounting back from Edinburgh. Okay, so how did taking it to Edinburgh and having to remount it in a space you'd never seen, never performed in, change how you looked at the piece, how you thought about what to do to remount it in a bigger space with now a set? How did that change what the piece is?
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. From the set perspective, I think this version, because obviously the Fringe was very limited in what we could use as a set and very lightweight more so, but even before that, the set was relatively minimal. And so I think, especially having kind of the extreme version of that at the Fringe, we wanted to try to get to do the show again and just sort of set all of that aside. So not have any consideration about, oh, what if we want to perform it somewhere else?
Right.
Design a set that's something we can take somewhere. Or just say, okay, whenever we decide where the performance venue will be, and we wound up at Live Arts, which is great, we're just going to take whatever that space is and use the best things we can in that space, design it as fully as we possibly can in the venue we're in, without any consideration about being able to travel or stick it in the back of a truck and take it somewhere else. So I think that's the main thing, was that having done it a couple of times in places where we could take the set to varying degrees in a, you know, truck to Richmond or in boxes to the UK, we were really excited about getting to set all of that aside and just really design for the space we're in and see what we could make from that.
Because that's something most people who have such a conceptual show like yours don't normally get to do. They don't normally get to say, okay, where are we doing it this time? Let's completely rethink. That's really unusual for artists to be able to do. So what has that changed
the story? How does that change what we're going to see?
Story-wise, I think it's safe to say that on paper, it probably won't seem very different.
Okay.
But what we are trying to do with each version, and again, The Fringe was an extreme option in that we got to perform the show so many times.
Yeah.
Back-to-back, which was great. Which just you don't get to do very often, or at least we don't get to do very often, and it just gives you a chance to see where you feel unsure about why something happens,
yeah,
or where you start to really feel like, oh, okay, this is a moment where I don't really know why that next thing comes about.
Right,
it doesn't seem inevitable, and so there's more to find there. So I think it's safe to say that mostly the changes are in that, are going back over the narrative and trying to make a deeper sense out of it, and trying to make it feel as though everything is always moving onward, forward into the next thing.
So add an addition of intent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So from my understanding, as my wonderful and lovely producer has clued me in on this, the Performer Exchange Project is more movement-based theater, would you say?
Yeah, I would say that's safe to say. It's a collective of five theater artists. Martha Mendenhall, who actually lives in North Carolina, Jennifer Hoyt Tidwell, myself, and Kara, who are all here in Charlottesville, and our other collective member, Doreen, who lives in Stanton and works at Mary Baldwin University.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say up until this point, we have mostly drawn from the same specific sort of training to make our shows, but that's really just because who has directed them up until this point. Martha
right.
has directed everything Pep has done, and so but I think it's safe to say that anyone who might direct or lead a project in Pep has a pretty physically based approach to making theater.
And with that being said, do you think that moving into a wider space gives you a little bit more freedom to do more things in that space, and does and we've probably already covered that, but does the space necessarily control the thrust of the piece? Say if you move into a larger space, it's like, oh, now we can do this and we can do this and we can do this. Do you think the space size contributes to how the play is restructured?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say, I don't think on paper it would be safe to say that we changed anything. Feel free to interrupt me here. But you are obligated to fill whatever space you're in, and it's certainly true that when you go into a bigger space, you have to make adjustments for that. We're more used to working in very small spaces, so for us that was, and it contributed to some decisions we made design-wise, some things that were sort of up for debate, and the size of the space might not have been the only factor that took mm-hmm. us where we eventually wound up going with the redesign. But a major part of it is the fact that, I mean, that's a big space. It's a big space in a weird
Yes, it's
direction.
Very tall.
Yeah, it's
very
wide,
tall.
Like a church.
And so you have to fill it. And then, you know, we also had, I would say we saw a couple, like in The Fringe, where you get to see a lot of different things, and I felt like I had at least one or two experiences watching other people's work where I felt like they'd taken a show that really was built and designed and put together and would have worked well in a smaller space and put it in a larger space because they're great, you know, theater practitioners, and they knew they could fill the seats or whatever the reason is. But you're like, oh, okay, this is not quite the space the show is ideal for.
Mm. So when you say, like you say, you're more comfortable in small spaces, would you say that the Gibson Theater is in, maybe this is the wrong word, but intimidating space to work in? What challenges did you find in the restructure of it?
Certainly the height was a big thing. And the fact that it's just the two of us on stage mm-hmm. the whole time, we're the only performers.
Right.
So that had to do, this time we have Heather Hutton, who's a really good lighting designer, who is helping us tell that story and making choices that will really support and focus in where we need to focus in so that the space doesn't engulf us. That's a big part of it. So we're really happy to have her as well. But I don't know. I find it very freeing in some ways,
cool.
Particularly for this.
Cool.
I think just because we went in knowing that we were going to try to find balance, given that it's just the two of us.
Freedom. Optimism. I like that. We're going to do a drop. We're going to talk more happy stuff about Pip and Twig, and then we'll be right back. This is Homegrown. Drop! It is 49 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, what the hell is wrong with you?
I know. You've missed so much.
You miss a great show every time, and you always tune in like 10 minutes before. What's wrong with you?
You know what?
What's wrong
Set
with
an
you?
Alarm,
do you
people.
Hate us?
Jeez.
Do you hate me?
I mean, we are giving you, like, everything, okay? We are here every Sunday, and we are just, like, pouring our hearts out, and you just don't seem to care.
This is Homegrown on WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Leslie. Clinton rocking the boards. We're talking with Sean Richards and Karen McLean Burke about the convolution of Pip and Twig coming to Live Arts from the 1st of September to the 23rd of September. So if anybody wants to give me a birthday present, mine is September the 20th.
Oh my Lord.
I would like to see movement, and I would like to see it now. But
So I've got a question. For our listeners who don't know, what is the plot? What is the story of Pip and Twig?
The basic summary is that it is about two twin sisters who live a sort of ritualized, habitual, insular little life together. Mm-hmm. And then that all kind of gets blown apart when one twin decides to kind of take a leap out into the unknown.
Oh.
And I'm guessing that one is Pip.
No, actually. I somehow managed
it's Twig.
To turn her off.
Pip, pop, kind of pop out of the box. Yeah. All right. So for those people that are like, well, I saw this already before. I ain't going to miss nothing. Tell us about the new stuff, the new crazy stuff that you put into the show. What's wild?
Why is
what's
it got to be crazy?
Because it's got to be crazy. Because you got to make it crazier every time in order to drive in these people.
Yeah.
So what's the new stuff, without giving away everything, yes. What's the new stuff that people are going to see? What's the new things that people are going to see set-wise? Character-wise, you didn't change the script, so everything's regular there. But what is new coming into this new iteration?
Well, certainly the set is, I think, yeah, it's safe
big,
to say,
it's gonna be a big driver.
Significantly different.
Look, it just a whole look will be.
We have, Kara already mentioned, we have Heather Hutton doing lights, so that's a new designer. We have Zap, who actually did painting for our last version, but she's back doing some beautiful painting work for this. We have John Owen, who's another brilliant painter who's helping us out. Yeah. Our dear friend JP Scheidler sort of helped with our redesign and made a beautiful set that I think is pretty magical. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah.
But definitely our collaborators and people who've seen the show who have come in and seen the way it's changed, I think their response is, I think we're right that it's, they've been like, okay, that's different. So
that's saying a lot, because the previous iteration, like, the set was already getting people saying that it was magical. I mean, I'm nice. Sitting here thinking, oh, tell me, you did. I mean, did you redo? I don't want to have any spoilers, but did you redo the moon? Did you
he wants spoilers
because the moon was pretty
you
cool.
Did not the drop first the moon. Time. It's a little different.
Yeah, everything's
it's a different moon
for various reasons.
Yeah.
So we kind of made a bold choice, and then we had to have repercussions from that. But we still are trying to maintain the magic that has been a part of it, and the sweetness and the.
I just imagine the moon from the Smashing Pumpkins Tonight video where that just talks. from
you're not that far.
No spoilers.
That's
no
where
spoilers.
Mind goes.
So we got a few minutes. Anything else that you want to talk about? Any shout outs? Anything that you want to, explain before, we unfortunately have to.
Well, it's a long run, people.
Yeah.
So buy some tickets.
There you go.
And buy some
drinks. It's only 45 minutes long, so.
Yeah, it is. It's short and sweet. I think it's safe to say that it's funny, and hopefully there's some moments where it's a little bit touching. It's not a long play. It's a very pleasant way to spend an evening at the theater. there's a lot to escape from currently, so maybe this is a good place to escape.
Mm-hmm.
And the run is long. There's also a group discount, so if you want to bring a gaggle of folks along with you, the tickets are only $10. So yeah, come out is what we would say.
And also, if it's not a children's show per se, but we've 8 and older, it's been very appropriate and also enjoyed by all ages.
Very cool.
And can I just say from experience with this and other pet projects, since this is theater that you guys are continually working on mm-hmm. and continually shifting and changing, it's a show, especially if you've got a long run, it's a show that really, really does bear fruit when you go and see it multiple times, to see it early in the run and also later in the run, because you're, one, it's so rich, you're going to get different things out of it, but two, it constantly changes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Clinton. And he's sweet.
Mm-hmm. The Convolution so of Pip and Twig, September 1st through September 23rd at Live Arts Theater. They Major Now. Sean Richards, Karen McLeanberg, thank you so much.
You guys.
And you will be back here when y'all do it again.
Yes.
At the Globe Theater in London. So,
when we're
so looking forward to that. Aim high.
Yes.
Aim high. So I guess we're going to do that rant thing?
We're going to do that rant thing.
Uh-oh, we got a rant for y'all.
Oh, boy, do we have a rant today.
I'm just going to push this mic over.
Yeah, just, oh, my goodness. So Taylor Swift leaked 15 seconds of her new video this week.
Sorry.
I know you like Bae. Everybody likes Bae. Well, except Clinton. But can we just talk for a moment about the inappropriate appropriation of Bae? Can we for a moment stop and ponder how this woman, this amazing black businesswoman, has been appropriated throughout the music industry? Oh, and Taylor, you ain't the first one. Everybody be copying Bae. And most of the people that do it look just like you. I am absolutely sick to death of white people copying and outright stealing things that black people have created and calling it their own. And this doesn't just happen in the music industry. That cell phone you talking on right now, a black man helped invent that. The red light you stopped at, a black man invented that. But see, we don't talk about that. That kind of information is not in any history book that's in any school in this country. And the list goes on and on and on. So you want to know why we get upset when someone appropriates something that is ours? This is why. Now, it's not going to come back on Bae. She ain't losing no money. She ain't losing not one fan. But we need to talk about the privilege involved in being able to do it in the first place. Because if the roles were reversed, there would be a backlash never seen before in the music industry. Not that Bae would ever copy anything from some skinny little white girl, but we playing devil's advocate here. If the tables had been turned and she had used something that Taylor did first, every executive, every record company, everybody in the music industry would be on her. But since it's a white girl copying a black girl, it's okay. And the only people worried about it, the only people saying anything about it are her fans. And please tell me how this director can fix his mouth to say that the 15-second leak of the video has no resemblance to Formation. We only saw 15 seconds of it and we see it. Do you really think we're that stupid? Do you really think we don't recognize appropriation when we see it? No, sir. You can take multiple seats. And finally, isn't this what Formation was talking about? In case some of you didn't realize, Bae wasn't asking people to simply stand together in a pattern that looked pretty. Listen to the lyrics. Come on, ladies, now let's get in formation. She wasn't asking you to stand in a spot. She was asking you to open a book. She was asking you to learn something about who you are and where you come from so that when you do stand up, you can do so with some knowledge, with some wherewithal, to do it with some dignity and some pride and some agency. And then here comes this little white girl trying to steal that. Well, let me explain something to you. You can't steal what we got. And every single black woman will continue to stand. And you, Miss Swift, can take a seat.
To quote the wonderful Ike Anderson, if Beyonce put out Lemonade, Taylor just put out Crystal Light.
right?
She got mayonnaise in her back swag.
And ain't nobody drinking that crap.
We'd like to thank our guests, the wonderful Susan Munson and Deborah Guy for their wonderful music, Kaylee Reed for her lovely art, Sean Richards and Karen McLeanberg for their lovely art coming out. And coming up next is the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. His guests are Adeola Ogunkiede and Kim Rola from the Legal Aid Justice Center. They are talking about the events of August 12th, police reaction, or lack thereof, and the different communities' perceptions of Charlottesville. Stay freaking tuned. This is a not-to-be-missed show. Thank you so much. I'm David. That was Leslie. Clinton's back here. This is Homegrown. We'll see y'all next Sunday.
Peace.
Remember those walls I built? Well, baby, they're tumbling down. They didn't even put up a fight. They didn't even make a sound. I found a way to let you in, but I never really had a doubt. Standing in the light of your halo, I got my angel now. It's like I've been awakened. Every rule I had you breaking.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.